You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. In the past, health insurance plans that were created after the passage of the Affordable Care Act were criticized for being too expensive for many people. However, a federally funded nonprofit organization in Iowa says new provisions have increased subsidies and made it possible for even the most high-income earners to qualify for the lower-cost plans. 4 in 10 people who get signed up get a plan for less than $10 per month. Jeremy Smith is the director of Iowa Navigator, and he says this new funding will enable the group to reach many more people.
During the Trump administration, the program got cut. The funding got cut so bad that no organization would do it any longer. And we're an odd case because we do it for several states. And we're a nonprofit organization, and we are based in West Virginia, and we specialize in social service helplines. So when we saw that no organization would do it anymore, that was a little over 2 years ago, we wrote a grant to the feds and proposed to be able to do this helpline for people that needed the help. And so we've been doing it for the last 2 years. And then with this new funding cycle, we reapplied and we was able to get more than twice the amount of funding that we had the last 2 years. So we'll have a little bit more capacity to help more people and more advertising to get the word out. And then also Planned Parenthood in Iowa, they actually applied to also be a grantee. So they've got a program starting back up that will provide this service to the people as well.
People can call and get help. And then also there's more money. So it looks like more people will be able to take part and get some reduction in cost because of the subsidy.
One of the major things that's happened is the Biden administration increased the subsidies to make the prices lower for pretty much everybody. And even the higher income earners can now qualify. So the rates are much more affordable than they've ever been. And it's really been beneficial to people. So we're trying to get the word out because the next open enrollment period will start November 1st. And it'll go until January 15th. So everybody that needs coverage can take advantage and sign up during that time.
And the Navigator, it also reaches out and tries to help underserved populations.
Yeah, definitely. That's going to be one of our focuses with this new grant cycle. Now that we've got a little bit more capacity, we're going to be trying to do a lot of outreach to other organizations that help those populations just to make sure that we're here and that we can help and they can refer those clients on to us if they need health coverage. And then, also a lot of targeted digital outreach, that kind of stuff, to where we can make sure they get advertisements if they fit into that digital outreach realm and try to get the word out that way too.
Do you feel like it's hard to get the word out, maybe?
It is, especially with COVID, just because when we originally applied for this grant, we kind of thought we'd been able to be on the ground a little bit more and do presentations and come up with a couple special events every year and that kind of stuff. And then with COVID, we've largely been pretty grounded the last couple years, and we haven't been able to do some of that stuff. This program is probably more needed than ever just because there's so much misinformation online that if people's trying to do their own research and they do a Google search for health insurance in their area, more often than not, there's all these websites that come up that are trying to sell what's called a limited benefit short-term policy. And that is more... it's not great for the average person just because it still asks about pre-existing conditions and there's all kinds of limitations in the coverage. But for a lot of people, they don't dig into the nitty gritty of the plan and they don't know that until it's too late. So it's more important than ever to talk to an expert and be able to get all your questions answered and make sure you're getting a plan that's going to be useful for you and your family. But we often see somebody trying to do their research themselves and then they fall into a trap online, or they get all these telemarketing calls from these, you know, insurance agents that are selling the limited benefit plans. And so if they use our program, I mean, we're not something that gets commission off of any one plan. It's just an absolutely free service, and all of our information, and, you know, we're completely unbiased and impartial as far as what we're telling people and the help we provide. So people can know that they're always gonna, you know, get all their questions answered with no angles, versus just so much online is just misinformation.
That was Jeremy Smith of Iowa Navigator, a free nonprofit program that offers enrollment assistance for the health insurance marketplace. It's available to any Iowa resident. For more information about health plan subsidies, go to acanavigator.com. In other news today, the state is testing out a new program to help racial and ethnic minorities in Iowa buy homes. The loan assistance program will go toward down payments and closing costs. The Minority Down Payment Pilot Program is part of a larger statewide investment in housing relief. About $1 million was awarded to the program from federal COVID-19 relief funds. It's run through the Iowa Finance Authority. Ashley Jared is the communications director.
Homeownership is a major driver of wealth generation in the state, and minorities are far behind others in homeownership. So that's really the goal of this program, is to help spur that.
Since the program is so new, Jared says they haven't had many people apply just yet. They're working on getting the word out and translating the information. Iowa has had to deal with a labor shortage for some time now, and the coronavirus pandemic has only exacerbated that problem. The state's registered apprenticeship programs are helping to train people and put them to work. There are three of them in Sioux City. And a new study says joint labor management apprenticeship programs in Iowa's construction industry are delivering outcomes that rival many colleges in the state. That's according to a new study by the nonpartisan Midwest Economic Policy Institute. The study also shows the performance of joint construction programs far exceeds that of the state's non-union construction apprenticeship system. Frank Manzo of the Midwest Economic Policy Institute is a co-author of the study. He says hundreds of apprentices were studied over 8 years for this study.
The study showed that many construction apprenticeship programs are viable alternatives to college in Iowa. And in particular, the joint labor management programs deliver training hours, graduation rates, and competitive earnings that outperform Iowa's two-year community colleges.
When you look at the comparison, the average wage, starting wage, mid-career wage, and sort of wage growth, it's very impressive the percentage differences between the joint union construction apprentices and the employer-only construction apprentices.
Joint labor management apprenticeship programs, the union programs, bolster Iowa's middle class. Workers who complete these programs can find jobs that pay $20, $30 an hour or more. And the average is about the same as workers with associate's degrees in the state of Iowa. These are good jobs with family supporting incomes and without the average, you know, $38,800 in student loan debt in the state. But as you mentioned, on the other hand, an apprentice from an employer only program tends to only have earnings that are closer to high school degrees, about $10 per hour less than the apprentices from the joint programs.
Is it because of the bargaining done by the unions to get them a better starting job and to help them along the way? Do they know more?
These programs, the joint labor management programs, are on average more rigorous than the employer-only programs. Trades are learned, you know, these are for trades that are very highly skilled, you know, building roads and bridges, you know, all the way to building, you know, entire universities, right? So a little different, some, you know, than some that might be geared specifically to like a residential bathroom type program or something like that. But what I can say for sure is that the, you know, in construction, there are these two types of apprenticeship programs, and the largest players are the joint labor management programs, and they are cooperatively administered and have cents per hour contributions that are made by employers to invest in the next and train the next generation of skilled tradespeople. You know, on the other hand, we have these employer only programs that are administered by companies kind of solely, and they rely entirely on voluntary contributions from the contractor. So it's not institutionalized, it's voluntary, and often poorly funded because, you know, because it's voluntary, they may decide not to invest in training because they need to lower their labor costs in order to win a bid. And so it's often poorly funded compared to the joint labor management. And that's why the joint programs train the majority, 55% of all construction apprentices in the state.
Do they have anything to do with the community college programs? Are they totally separate or?
So in general, the joint labor management union programs are separate from community colleges. They are funded entirely through the collective bargaining agreement that's negotiated between workers and their employers, the contractors. That being said, they often offer partnerships with the community colleges. And so while you're not using taxpayer dollars to fund these programs, they are partnering with organizations, community colleges that might be funded by taxpayer dollars to remove the stigma associated with a trade school and encourage people, even in the community college setting, to consider a career in the trades.
It does seem like that stigma is starting to fade a little bit, because when you look at the wages that are paid, if you have that kind of a skill that's in great demand, especially since the pandemic, it's really changed how people look at that and how they think, mm-hmm. This is something I can do that will help me get ahead and learn something.
First, we need to completely remove the stigma associated with choosing a trade school over a college. We can expand pre-apprenticeship programs in public high schools and at community colleges and educate students and parents, teachers, and counselors about apprenticeships as a pathway into the middle class, because for many young residents, vocational training may offer a better pathway. Now, and that's point one. And then point two, just to speak to that, and we don't actually have this, I don't think this number in the report. I think it came out after we were kind of finished with the report. But between 2011 and 2019, the total number of active apprentices in Iowa has grown by 65%. So a 65% growth over 8 or 9 years. And that's important because enrollment at Iowa's community colleges has actually declined every year since 2011. And that's according to the Iowa Department of Education. You know, not apprenticeship programs, they've grown by 65%. So speaking to the kind of the possible removal of a stigma over the last few years, but it still persists, it still exists.
What would someone need to do if they wanted to get into one of these apprenticeship programs?
These apprenticeship programs are available across the state. There are resources that help connect workers to apprenticeship programs. One is called ICANN in Iowa. But that being said, if you apply, you might not get in, right? These are application processes that require, hit certain boxes, I guess, right? Check off certain boxes in order to have the highest score and the highest chance of getting in. So there are ways to improve your candidacy, improve your application. And among those are looking for pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship readiness programs, taking shop classes to the extent that they exist in your high school if you're a student, or finding other ways to kind of connect with members of the trades, connect with these joint labor management apprenticeship programs. And an added benefit to the pre-apprenticeship and, of course, registered apprenticeship programs is that most of the pre-apprenticeship programs are earn while you learn, and all of the registered apprenticeship programs are earn while you learn. So they're training programs, and you get the opportunity to earn a wage while you're learning the skills required for the job. And the tuition costs, of course, are covered by employers and labor management organizations who, they benefit because they gain access to a pool of skilled and safe workers.
That was Frank Manzo. He's the policy director for the Midwest Economic Policy Institute. He was talking about a new study that showed the value of joint labor management apprenticeship programs in Iowa's construction industry. For more information about Iowa's apprenticeship programs, you can go to iowaeda.com. Support for The Exchange comes from Gregory Dials, investment advisor representative with Legacy Financial, LLC in Sioux City. Serving the